From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues another message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. The text is found in the third chapter and verse 17, the concluding verse of the account of the children of Israel passing over the Jordan on dry ground, as the priests bearing the ark stood in the midst of the river. In a message entitled, The Complete Success of Christ's Saving Work, Dr. Cairns calls attention to the truth that Christ had a clear purpose of full salvation for all His people when He died on the cross. God had promised Joshua that He would bring all the people safely into the Promised Land. If one had been left behind, God's purpose would have failed. So Christ will have all of His people. To accomplish God's purpose, the Lord Jesus undertook a great task. He left heaven, took upon Himself our flesh, and died a criminal's death on the cross to reconcile lost sinners to God. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember the poor. Why does God allow so many of His children to be poor? He could make them all rich if He pleased. He could lay bags of gold at their doors. He could send them a large annual income, or He could scatter round their houses abundance of provisions, as once He made the quails lie in heaps round the camp of Israel, and rained bread out of heaven to feed them. There is no necessity that they should be poor, except that He sees it to be best. The cattle upon a thousand hills are His. He could supply them. He could make the richest, the greatest, and the mightiest bring all their power and riches to the feet of His children, for the hearts of all men are in His control. But He does not choose to do so. He allows them to suffer want. He allows them to pine in penury and obscurity. Why is this? There are many reasons. One is, to give us, who are favored with enough, an opportunity of showing our love to Jesus. We show our love to Christ when we sing of Him and when we pray to Him. But if there were no sons of need in the world, we should lose the sweet privilege of evidencing our love by ministering in almsgiving to His poorer brethren. He has ordained that thus we should prove that our love stands not in word only, but in deed and in truth. If we truly love Christ, we shall care for those who are loved by Him. Those who are dear to Him will be dear to us. Let us then look upon it not as a duty, but as a privilege to relieve the poor of the Lord's flock, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Surely this assurance is sweet enough, and this motive strong enough, to lead us to help others with a willing hand and a loving heart, recollecting that all we do for His people is graciously accepted by Christ as done to Himself.
His love and power controlling.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The current issue includes a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. In addition, there are feature articles about Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, as well as a tribute to the great American theologian B.B. Warfield. Also, there's a missionary focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues such as, what is revival? Can women be pastors? And how do we distinguish faith from presumption? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. He came, he says in Luke 19:10, to seek and to see of his people while they were yet lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to see of that which is lost. The illustration of that in Luke 19 much perplexed the Jews, because the Lord Jesus set his eye upon Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought that the Lord Jesus couldn't see him, didn't notice him, didn't know him, had never heard of him. He was totally amazed that right under the tree the Savior stopped. And without needing any introductions, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The Jews immediately objected. He's a sinner. He's a traitor to his people. He's a bloodsucker. All those things were true. In fact, they would be gentle explanations of the career of Zacchaeus. He was the worst kind of specimen of humanity that you could possibly imagine. But the Lord Jesus says he is a son of Abraham. He's a child of my covenant. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Matthew 20:28, he says why he came, that he was the Son of Man, yet he did not come to be served or to be ministered unto. He came to serve or to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did he come? Did he have a purpose in coming? Yes, he did. The purpose of giving his life to be a ransom for many, and thereby to deliver his people from the power and from the fear of death. In Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ took part of flesh and blood, in order that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Looking at the other side of that coin, he said in John 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life." They, in John 10, are his sheep. He says, "I am come that my sheep may have life, and life more abundant." That's why in John 17, verse 2, he gives utterance to one of the very, very deep statements of Scripture. I have pondered this verse again and again, and sometime or other I will get around, by the grace of God, to expounding it. There's one man over here who keeps asking me, "When are you going to expound John 17? Well, there are very simple answers to that. The basic one is when I feel the Lord wants me to, and secondly, when I feel before God I can do some sort of justice to the Holy of Holies in the Word of God. And right at the very beginning of the chapter, here is a verse to stagger the mind. The Lord Jesus is speaking to his Father, "As thou hast given him," and he's speaking about himself in the third person, "as thou hast given him power over all flesh." Now stop there for a minute. Look at that. This is what God has given into the hand of his Son in making him the mediator. "Thou hast given him power over all flesh." With what purpose? In order that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And not to one less. Now let's get the grip of that. God invested Jesus Christ with all power and with all authority in order that he should give eternal life to every last one that God had given him. The Lord Jesus had a very clear purpose of full salvation for all his people. The second thing I'll notice then is that to accomplish that purpose, the Lord Jesus has undertaken a great task. We see this clearly illustrated in our text. Joshua's priests strode before the people, and they stood in Jordan to give them a safe passage. Now, this is such a simple statement, and yet it opens up so many doors that I have to stand back and take a deep breath. Otherwise, we could be here a long time. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. Before they entered in, the priests did. Before the people came, the priests were there. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great forerunner, and he has gone into death for us. He has undertaken the task. And I want you to notice something. He dried up the river. And I'm speaking now, fulfilling the type. He dried up the river before they ever stood there. They stood on dry ground. There's the victory of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, here's a thought in the death of Christ that you want to meditate upon. The Lord Jesus in death destroyed death. In death defeated the devil. In weakness, human weakness, for he was crucified in weakness. No human body could have been in a weaker state. No human mind could ever have been more buffeted than that of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. He was in weakness, and yet he was in strength, because he was in total, absolute victory. And if the weakness of our Savior is stronger than the greatest strength of hell, what a glorious Savior we have. He stood on dry ground. He doesn't talk to us about any victory that he himself did not totally, absolutely, and to the fullest degree experience. He experienced it himself. That's proven in his coming again from the dead. The Lord Jesus is pictured for us by these priests standing in the Jordan to give the people of God a safe passage. Our Savior undertook, therefore, to do all that was necessary, everything needful to give us a safe entrance into life. Take what the Scripture says. He undertook the task of purchasing his people. Ephesians 5:25-27. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In order, what? In order that he would redeem it, purchase it unto himself. He had that purpose. The Lord Jesus undertook the task of making himself the offering for their sins. Isaiah 53:10 spells out in so many words the compact between the Father and the Son in the covenant of redemption. And the Father addresses the Son, "When thou shalt make thy soul an offering for sin." These are God's words to his Son. The Lord Jesus undertook that task of making himself the offering for sin. He undertook the task in that offering of propitiating the wrath of God against all his people and their sins. Now, this is something that is not sufficiently studied, preached, or understood. When you go back to the Old Testament ritual, there are five basic sacrifices that you find listed for you in the opening chapters of the book of Leviticus. They are the foundation of the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament economy. And they together give us a very full picture of the meaning of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a deep and wonderful study to take the details of those sacrifices and see them portraying for us the sacrifice of Christ. Now, we tend to think that sacrifice is intended to have its first effect upon man. But in Scripture, it is clearly taught that the first effect of the sacrifice of Christ was intended to be upon God. That's why the first sacrifice of the five major offerings of the Old Testament was the burnt sacrifice, the ascending sacrifice, that sacrifice in which everything was burned on the altar. Everything went to God. There were other sacrifices in which the priest took a part, in which the offerer took a part. There were other sacrifices, this is very clear, for instance, in the peace sacrifice, where you have the picture of God, the priest, and the offerer all eating, as it were, and all satisfied with the same sacrifice. That's a beautiful picture of reconciliation. The primary aim of sacrifice is that it goes entirely to God and is first and foremost a satisfaction of God, a propitiation or an appeasement of divine wrath by the offering up of himself. The Lord Jesus did expiate our guilt. He did give us an example that we should follow in his steps. But those things are only true because first he satisfied the wrath of God. What a task to undertake. To see us under condemnation. To see us lying under the sword of divine judgment and justice. With all the furies of God's wrath rightly waiting to fall upon our head. With the justice of offended deity calling for our everlasting damnation, and to step into the breach and say, I will satisfy God, his law, his wrath. I will take it all. I will evacuate hell of its fury against these people by taking all the wrath of God that is their due until not one drop is left for them. What a task. But that's what he undertook to do. He undertook to do all that was needful to save his people from their sin. He had the purpose to save them, and he undertook the task to accomplish that purpose.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.